Welcome to St. John's Sermons, a podcast from St. John's Lutheran Church, North Prairie, Wisconsin, a congregation of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. We offer this podcast with the loving encouragement to use it as a supplement to your own regular reception of the Lord's gifts of forgiveness and life in word and sacrament on the Lord's Day. The Lord bless your hearing of these sermons. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, here's the word. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. You know, sometimes a well-placed question is better than a 10-minute speech. A question has the power to get a person thinking on their own volition, out of their own will. And when they get to thinking out of their own will, they start sorting things out, they start doing the math. The right questions do that. They get people to do the math themselves, and they often prevent a speech from having to be made. Questions in cross-examination and court cases often win and lose court cases for this very reason. It can cause the jury or the person on the stand or whatever to do all the math themselves. A well-placed question is often the equivalent of preaching several sermons. And that's very true today of our double-edged sword, the last in our series that we've been running through the whole Lenten series of the double-edged sword. The question that the dazzling men in white in Luke chapter 24, placed to the women who had gone to the tomb that morning, thinking they were just going to be preparing a dead body for its final rest. They put this question to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? There's a question that preaches many sermons. Clearly, the women had to reckon with the fact that these two men in dazzling apparel were heavenly beings. They were clearly superior to the women. Their knowledge, their information was trustworthy because they were so dazzling. And their question teaches us a few different points. It's worth a few different sermons, truthfully. Sermon number one, why do you seek the living among the dead? Jesus is risen. He's not dead anymore. Sermon number two, why do you seek the living among the dead? Jesus is risen. Remember, follow-up question, how he told you? Sermon number three, Jesus is risen. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Jesus is risen. Time for you to live too. All of these points are made by simply asking one question. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Why do we seek the living among the dead? Jesus isn't dead anymore, so why is it the sinful inclination of us to seek the living among the dead? The world has all of its different sin bins. You're not going to find life on top of or underneath a bar stool. You're not going to find life at a casino. And you'll notice what we do. We tell ourselves when we go to these places, we're going there to live a little. No, you're not. You're going there to die a little. One more step on the way to your grave. That's death to us. And for us as Christians to frequent such bins is to leave Jesus dead and buried in his grave. But Jesus is not dead. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Why do we seek the living among the dead? Jesus is risen. Remember how he told you? You and I have our doubts. We hear the word of God and we want it to comfort us. We want it to reassure us that we're saved. But so often our doubts get in the way. But another well-placed question by the angels or by the dazzling men puts it all into perspective. Remember how he told you a few weeks ago in the Lenten season on a Sunday? We were confronted with the truth that when Jesus talked about his suffering, his death, and his resurrection, he spoke to them in plain language. There was nothing veiled. He laid it all out in detail. And then it happened. And that teaches us yet another sermon. It teaches us that word that we are so quick to doubt, that word that we are so quick to forget, that word that we are so quick to throw away in favor of our own wisdom and our own knowledge is true. Every last word of it is true. Jesus makes promises and they are fulfilled. They are as good as done the minute he says them. I will suffer and I will die. And he suffered. And he died. And on the third day I will rise again. And on the third day, he rose again. Remember how he told you? Under the crushing weight of guilt over our sin, it is so easy to forget that you and I are forgiven. That Christ, the risen Christ, speaks his words of absolution to us, brought us into his family through the water of baptism, killed our sinful nature just as he was killed, and brought to life a new human being just as he rose from the dead. It's so easy to forget these things. It's so easy to let guilt and shame and all those other things drag us down. But that's for dead people. The guilt and the shame stuff, that's for those who remain dead. That's not you. And if this is the first time you've ever heard that, let me extend an invitation to you. Come back next Sunday, because I'll say it again. I will say it again. You can remain dead. Or you can truly live. Because Jesus' word is true. He speaks his word of absolution and you are forgiven. The sins are gone. They're dead. Just as your sinful nature has been put to death. Today you live a new human being, a new man who lives before God in righteousness and purity forever. Remember how he told you these things? This is my body, this is my blood for you, for the forgiveness of your sins. Remember how he made all those promises and they came true? This is one man whose words are always true. They are the truth. And when Jesus mentions that in John 14, he ties it to life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. His words, his deeds, his actions. He told you all these things and they came true. If you want to go back to hope and despair, that's for dead people. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Why do we seek the living among the dead? Now we have a new life. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia means you are risen. There's a whole new purpose to everything you do. You're not dead anymore. The news that the men bring to the women sends them scurrying. And although 10 of the 11 remaining disciples still have their doubts at the end of this text, they still choose death over life. One goes running. His name is Peter. He did not hear the question, but the question proclaimed to the women that Jesus was risen, and Peter took off. Peter took off. While the other 10 were still choosing death over life, Peter had already done that. He'd been there. He'd done that. He chose death that night when he denied his Lord three times before he was crucified. Judas, too, chose death. And he wasn't going to get life back. But embedded in that question, why do you seek the living among the dead, was hope for Peter. Hope that he had a chance of being restored. Hope that Jesus' words were true, and that the same Jesus who spoke those words, the same Jesus who went to the cross and died, and the same Jesus who is now risen from the dead, gives Peter new life. He can't go back to what he's had the last 3 days. That's dead person stuff. Do you really want to go back to the shame, the grief, the regrets, the doubts that sin has placed into your lives? I would hope not. That's dead person stuff. Today, you are risen. You are risen indeed. Because Christ is risen. He's given you his forgiveness, and with that forgiveness is life. He has spoken to you the truth, and with that truth is life. Now you are living. No point going back to the dead. All of that is in the rearview mirror. Shame and despair, that's dead person stuff. You are among the truly living. Death itself, well, that's for dead people. Not for you. You're among the living. Where Christ is, that's where the living are. You can go to the sin bins, but that's just one step closer to the grave. That's one foot in the grave with the other one on the banana peel. No, Christ is where the living are. The risen Christ visits this holy house every Lord's Day with his gifts of forgiveness and life. And where he is, there are the living. Christ is risen every Sunday in this church. He's risen indeed. Hallelujah. He's risen and serving you with the gifts he won at the cross. Forgiving, giving new life, resurrecting, pushing you to his consummation at the last day. Repurposing your life today. All that other stuff, the shame, the doubt, the grief, the despair, the regrets. They're in the rearview mirror. They are dead person stuff. Where he is, there are the living. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Now, today, we live. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.
This podcast is a service of St. John's Lutheran Church in North Prairie, Wisconsin. For more information, including location, service times, and links to other Lutheran agencies, please visit our website at www.stjohnsnp.org. That's www.stjohnsnp.org. Theme music performed by Mr. Philip Magnus.